This is Greg Corumbus of Radio America reporting for WorldNet Daily. My guest at this time is Jerry Van Dyke, author of the brand new book, Captive, My Time as a Prisoner of the Taliban. It's a gripping account of his time in Afghanistan in the custody of the Taliban for well over a month. He lives to tell about it, and he's still a consultant with CBS News, the organization he was working for at the time of his abduction in Afghanistan. And Jerry, thanks so much for being with us.
Thank you for having me, Greg.
Well, this wasn't the first time that your life had been in perilous danger in Afghanistan. You had gone to cover the Mujahideen way back in the early 1980s and had been under fire and in danger. And it's interesting, even as you build up in this book to the point of your abduction, just how chaotic the culture kind of is there, how the process works, how deals are done, how you really necessarily can't trust a lot of people that you come across. How do you navigate your way through that, especially as someone who's not native to that area?
The only way I could do this was to draw upon my years of experience in Afghanistan. I first went there as a very young man in the 1970s, 1973, when my younger brother and I drove a car across from Europe to Afghanistan. When I was there in the 1980s, I developed a tie with the then, as you mentioned, Mujahideen, some of the leaders. And what I was trying to do this time was, with my understanding of the tribal culture, a bit of the language, understanding of the country, and having this tie with the former Mujahideen leaders, and taking with me the book that I had written in the 1980s, which the text of which meant nothing, but the pictures meant everything. I was here with you before when your backs were against the wall. I understand you. Will you help me? I was trying to, and to a degree succeeded for a while, in penetrating deep into Pashtun culture. I knew how to dress, how to walk, how to talk a little bit, how to look at a man in a way. Using that and feeling with my understanding of Pashtun Wali, that they, the tribal code of the Pashtuns, that they would protect me to the death as they had in the 1980s, that if I was prudent, I could penetrate the tribal areas of Pakistan. That was what I was doing. I was with the Taliban four times in Afghanistan, once in Pakistan. I was going to go very deep with them this last time when I was betrayed.
And then, of course, the betrayal occurred, and the guides were involved with that, those that you had trusted. And then you're imprisoned for a number of weeks. You initially thought that they were going to kill you on the spot when they basically jumped your party. Why didn't they kill you right away? What explanation did they give you either in the beginning or towards the end when you were finally released?
What we had done was my two bodyguards, myself, and my interpreter lagging far behind me. We had been hiking for about 6 hours in the tribal areas of Pakistan. We had left Afghanistan. We had crossed over. Sundown came. 12 men came shouting, screaming, holding rifles, rocket-propelled grenade launchers over the mountain, surrounding us, and I thought I was dead. I expected to be killed at that moment. They took me up onto a ridge, faced me west, slowly blindfolded me. I was waiting for what would happen next. I thought they would do what they do with a knife or with a rifle. It didn't happen. We went deep into the mountains, became very cold, much higher up, and they would, over a period of time, I never knew if I was going to be saved or if I was going to die. You have to convert to Islam or you will die. You have to do this. You have to do that. I knew that I had to convince them that I was there, drawing on my experience in the past, to understand them. Just as I had written a book in the 1980s about the Mujahideen, I have now come to talk to you about the Taliban. Explain to me who you are, why you are here, what are you fighting for, and who, this is very important to me, who is behind you, who's supporting you, and to what degree are you tied to Al-Qaeda? Because I was trying to get to Taliban leaders of today, whom I knew from before, hoping that they could take me to people that no other journalist would have access to. And I think that part of my understanding of the culture, part of my understanding of the language, being older, called me Shpingir, graybeard, and that I, when it really came down to it, when I thought they would kill me, I knew to be extremely humble, but not to be a coward. And there's just a very, very fine line. I was afraid, of course, that I would die. Many times I was certain of it, but other times when they prayed, we want Jerry to be saved, please God save him from here, I said they wouldn't pray to God and still kill me, would they? They tried to talk to me about becoming a suicide bomber. We listened to Taliban recruitment tapes. It was a constant roller coaster in this very dark room across which I couldn't see. We were allowed out for 3 minutes at night, but they always fed me well, because this was part of the tribal codes to take care of somebody, and they never physically laid a hand on me.
Jerry, it says here in your book that at one point they were like, no harm will come to you. We want you to go back to America, tell people about Islam, and tell the world that the Taliban was good to you. Was that the end of it? Was this basically a propaganda effort on their part by not killing you and sending you back in one piece?
Initially, they demanded a ransom of $1.5 million. They wanted to exchange me for three prisoners, three of their comrades, or their brothers, as they described them, who were in Guantanamo. They threatened to kill me. They said so many things. Ultimately, one day, the Taliban commander came in and said, congratulations on escaping death. You are going to be with your wife tonight. Hmm. I'm not married, but I had to create a wife for part of the a ransom note and a threatening note that they had to send out to the West. I don't know why ultimately I was kidnapped, why I went through what I did, nor do I know exactly why I was released. I believe that people above them made the decision to release me. Were they people who I knew from before who helped me? Were there parts of the government who helped me? When I got out, I asked a great number of questions. I do know that the man who, a former member of the Mujahideen, one of my principal contacts, today a member of parliament, called the Taliban commander, who I had never met until the very, very end, who they say was responsible for orchestrating my kidnapping, and he said, release Jerry and do not harm him. Did that make the difference? Did the U.S. government make a difference? There was a predator overhead for the last 3 weeks when we were there. I wondered if the predator was looking for the Taliban who kept coming, staying near where we were staying. If they knew I was there, they would have killed me, but only one Taliban group knew who had captured me, said, we can't allow any other Taliban group to see you because they will kidnap you and kill you. When they would come through this way station, if you will, and going into Afghanistan to fight, was that predator there to try and perhaps kill them, or was the predator there looking for me? When I got out, I asked the FBI, and they said, we brought all assets into play. No more explanation. I've asked a great number of people. No one will tell me the truth. I don't know if everyone or anyone really knows the truth.
Jerry, thank you very much for being with us.
Thank you.
Jerry Van Dyke is the author of Captive, My Time as a Prisoner of the Taliban. He's a consultant with CBS News. He's also the author previously of In Afghanistan, An American Odyssey. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America, reporting for WorldNet Daily.